Please be seated. I just have to keep checking if I'm turned on over here. And good morning to all of you. It's great to be back home. And after two Sundays, I have to tell you a little story. My wife and I were at a wedding in Florida with the woman girl I went to fifth grade with. And I've known her longer than anyone else. She's Jewish. And she married a Presbyterian. And so it was a little, I couldn't do the ceremony for them, but we wanted to attend. And so I gave a grace at the beginning and was sitting at this table. It was a very elegant reception. And there's a woman across from the round table looking at me through most of the dinner. And finally, she comes up to me and she says, this is New York Jewish. I mean, the whole crowd is from New York, New York Jewish. She comes up to me and she says, I understand you're a man of the cloth. And I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I am. And she says, you don't look like a man of the cloth. You don't look like a rabbi. I've just never quite had that exchange happen where she says you look Irish. So it's good to be home. See, I felt a little out of place, there. I know you've had much happen in the short time I've been away. You've called a new dean, Reverend Scott Anderson, who'll be here at the beginning of June. And I want to personally congratulate Monica Berner and all who served on the search committee for their diligence and their commitment to hours of hard work and prayerful discernment, which has all come to fruition. And a new chapter in your life together is about to begin as the Lord wishes the ministries of this place to flourish, both as a parish and in your ministry as a cathedral to the diocese. Now, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. This is a very special day. Fourth Sunday of Easter, it's always Good Shepherd Sunday. This is a special day for me because I served as the rector of Church of the Good Shepherd in Lyndhurst, Ohio, just east of Cleveland for 15 years. And it was my first church as rector, and the congregation was very patient, raising me in the responsibilities of caring for a parish. I want to tell you a story of how a suburbanite like me managed to learn a few things about taking care of sheep on the first Christmas at Church of the Good Shepherd in Lyndhurst, Ohio. I never dreamed of telling the story to a congregation with farmers in Montana, but I cannot resist the temptation. Our church was very small. I was young and wanted to do something new and dramatic to advertise the church. We had an organist who had collected nativity scenes from all over the world. And so I proposed that we display a good number of our organist's nativity scenes in the parish hall and then advertise the display with a live nativity scene near the road by the entrance to the church. And please understand, I had absolutely no idea how to find, much less buy or rent, animals for a live nativity scene near the busy road of our church. But there was a man in the church who agreed to help, and he knew where he could purchase a donkey, a mother sheep, and her two little lambs. And he also agreed to build a shed, a stable, and illuminate it with floodlights. So we were in business. So we advertised in the local paper, and finally the opening night arrived. The four animals were being kept in the garage with water and straw, but it was my job to bring the animals out to the stable on the road. Well, the donkey was easy. I led him with a rope, and he came along just fine. But the sheep were not so easy. So I went to the mother sheep. She was big. We're talking big. And I thought I could bring her out of the stable as easily as the donkey. But I was wrong. The mama would not move. And as I started to get desperate because the whole world was waiting for this show to go on. You see, this was one of my earliest lessons in leadership and caring for sheep. Well, the mama sheep would not move. So I made my first mistake. I tried to drag the sheep with the twine that was around her neck. It didn't work. She did not move. I learned that you don't drag sheep. And then I got another idea. I went behind her and tried to push the sheep. She did not move. You don't push sheep. And I got another idea. I was filled with ideas. I tried to roll the sheep. And that did not work either. So I gave up on forcing the mama sheep to do what I wanted her to do. And I picked up one of the little lambs. And immediately, the mama sheep followed. This was Christmas, the time of celebrating the birth of our Lord, when we read a passage from the prophet Isaiah that a little child shall lead them. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And so it was an early lesson in leadership that you don't drag the sheep. You don't push the sheep. You don't roll the sheep. You show them how to follow the Good Shepherd. That was my lesson for that Christmas. I could remember from seminary, that's a long time ago, there was a story told about a professor from our seminary. Sometimes they give these great sermons and they actually make their way back to the seminary and the students get to talk about them. And this was a student who was ordained around Good Shepherd Sunday. And this professor said to the ordinand, "The one thing that you have to remember is that there is only one Good Shepherd, and we are all sheep. Our ministries come from the Good Shepherd, and the only way those ministries will flourish is if we remember to be guided and led by Jesus, the Good Shepherd." That professor was trying to teach the young ordinand that he was not the Good Shepherd. The bishop is not the Good Shepherd. The rector is not the Good Shepherd. The dean is not the Good Shepherd. We are all sheep who have a master, and our job is to follow wherever the Good Shepherd calls us to go. I want to say something about the similarities between sheep and people. There are some very serious and very profound similarities. Sheep, for one thing, spend a great deal of time looking down at the grass and eating. They can become self-absorbed and turn into their own way, especially if they get hurt or if they get wounded. People, like sheep, can get lost, separated from the flock, and go their own way. The prophet Isaiah wrote about this in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And again, the important lesson to remember is that we all need the Good Shepherd. We need the Good Shepherd to look out for us, to lead us and to guide us, or we turn into our own way and we go astray. People, like sheep, need a master to lead them and guide them. Otherwise, if we do not have a master, then we become our own master, and that will not end well. Now, I finish with a story. It's a personal witness. I'm not really very proud of this, but It's important to tell it. It's about how I was following the Good Shepherd early in my ministry, but I turned away from him. I turned away and tried to become my own master, and I went astray. I got lost, and a wise bishop helped me to return to God. You see, I was in this little parish at the Church of the Good Shepherd. It was very small, and the bishop wanted to close it. And the parish had had only one rector, the founding rector who gathered the flock and later bought some land and then built a beautiful building. But over several years, the rector got tired and burned out. And finally, the congregation got him to leave. And because they were so small and on diocesan aid, the parish took a chance on calling my wife and me and our 2-year-old son. I was 29 years old, and the saying then was, don't entrust your parish to anyone under 30. And so we started. I had no idea what to do. And within a year or so, I found myself a broken young man. But in the midst of my brokenness, God broke through. And I had a fresh conversion. I started to pray differently. I started to read the scriptures more intentionally. And more importantly, I began to rely on the Lord, trusting that if you believe that Jesus was who he said he was, that he could be heard and followed, then we could trust him to guide us. And over time, things changed. The parish began to change and to flourish. New people came, bringing their gifts and ministries. Children filled the Sunday school while ministries of the community expanded. The buildings were refurbished, and in my 11th year, a large new building was built for education and fellowship and for hosting diocesan youth conferences and cursillos. But you see, something happened to me that was not good. I was becoming the successful rector. I started thinking that I deserved a bigger parish. I moved from being dependent on God to being rather full of myself. And I moved from a sense of gratitude to God to a sense of entitlement. And then a very wise bishop counseled me. He was at the parish for a renewal weekend, and I asked him to talk to him. I'm not very proud of this incident, but he taught me one of the most important lessons of my life. I'm not very proud of what I said to him, but it was something like, I've been in this parish for 13 years or so, and it has grown to be a very vibrant parish, and I think I deserve a bigger parish, but that doesn't seem to be happening. I was grumpy about feeling stuck in this parish and said to him that I thought life was unfair and that I was not getting what I deserved. The bishop was very kind, but very firm. And he took me aside and he said to me, Graham, sometime very soon, I want you to get down on your knees and thank God that life is unfair. Sometime very soon, I want you to get down on your knees and thank God that you have not gotten what you deserve. Because you see, if life were fair and we all got what we deserved, we'd all be dead. And it's only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are alive. And the bishop said, I want you to go back to that church and love your people like you first loved them. Go back and depend on God the way you learned to depend on him when you were first called there and everything was such a struggle. That bishop saved my life. He saved me from myself. I had become like a lost sheep who had turned into his own way. And he returned me to the leading and the guiding of the good shepherd, because I learned to trust him again. And so on this Good Shepherd Sunday, may we have a fresh appreciation for how each of us are sheep who know their need of God. And when we hear his voice, may we know him who calls us each by name, so that we may follow where he leads. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand, please, as we reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father.